Would you pray with me? Holy God, once again we've heard the incredible news that the tomb was empty. He was not there. He'd been raised from the dead. And we pray that that word will work its way into our spirits and give us joy and courage and the will to share your love with all of your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A man came to his boss and asked for the rest of the day off so that he might attend his grandmother's funeral. And his boss said, "Sure, go ahead." The next morning, the young man came into the office and his boss saw him and they were talking. The boss said, "Do you believe in resurrection from the dead?" The young man said, "Yes." "Interesting, because after you left work yesterday, your grandmother came to visit you." Oops. The feelings of that story kind of reminded me of the disciples' response to the women. When they came bearing the good news that the tomb was empty, that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. The disciples, they thought it was an idle tale. They didn't believe them. Now, we know that there was a number of the women were with Jesus throughout his death on the cross and were there in the morning when they went to the tomb. They were there to hear Jesus turn over his spirit to God with his last breath. And then they went to the tomb early on the third day. And they heard the gentle rebuke of the two men dressed in dazzling white say to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen." They were there through it all, while the disciples were hiding. From the time that Jesus was arrested, the disciples pretty much went into hiding. Who are you going to believe? Yes, we know that women were considered not very smart and men did not put much store by what women said in that time. And yet, I will say, to Peter's credit, he detected something. Something which led him to think to himself, "I'm going to go and check this out." And he went and inspected the tomb and found that it was as they had said. Although it appears that by that time the men in white had departed. What makes a credible witness? One who has been there and seen it all? Or a group of people who were devastated, who had lost their leader and their purpose in life? Well, obviously we would say the ones who had been with Jesus through the whole journey, from the Last Supper to his death on the cross to the resurrection. The disciples were not credible because they were operating on what their logical minds believed to have happened. And there are many today who would say, believe just as the disciples, that Jesus did not rise because dead bodies don't come back to life. But you see, that's where they're wrong. They think only of dead bodies coming back to life. But lives that are spiritually and emotionally dead can come back to life as well. You know, the disciples were as dead as they thought Jesus was physically. Their spirits were dead. Emotionally, they were exhausted. They were dead. However, the author of Luke, after the resurrection, tells of sightings of Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and then in their midst later in the evening. Of course, the full resurrection for the disciples comes. And the other book that the author of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, wrote, which is the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came upon them. we make the resurrection so literal and confined. I want to share with you something I've shared with you before by Megan McKenna, a prolific and profound Catholic writer. She was leading a Bible study. And they were studying Luke chapter 7, a large group. And while they were talking in this Bible study, someone called out harshly, "Have you ever brought somebody back from the dead?" Now she said, "I'd been saying that life happens when we are interrupted. And that some of the most powerful acts of resurrection happen to the least likely people. That we are all the people of the resurrection and hope, called to live passionately and compassionately with others, to defy death, to forgive and to bring back others into the community, to do something that is life-giving." And this challenge from the back of the church. And when I heard it, my response was, "Yes," I went on to say. "Every time I bring hope into a situation, every time I bring joy that shatters despair, every time I forgive others and give them back dignity and the possibility of a future with me and others in the community, every time I listen to others and affirm them and their life, every time I speak the truth in public, every time I confront injustice, yes, I bring people back from the dead." Who are you going to believe? Someone who's been there? Someone who saw it happen? Or someone who thinks it could not possibly happen? That it's not logical? I'm reminded of a story about 5-year-old Brian, who had a pivotal verse in an Easter program. His verse was, "He is not here. He is risen." Unfortunately, he could not remember what to say during the performance. And the director had to quietly remind him his line. And he then confidently grabbed the microphone and triumphantly shouted, "He's not here, he's in prison!" In some respects, Brian had it right. For many, the resurrected Jesus is not possible because they are bound in the prisons of their minds, their logical and literal minds. In a story about the great Renaissance artist Michelangelo, we hear the following. On one occasion, Michelangelo turned to his fellow artists, and in a spirit of indignation, he said, "Why do you keep filling gallery after gallery with endless pictures on the one theme of Christ in weakness? Christ on the cross, and most of all, Christ hanging dead. Why do you concentrate on the passing episode as if it was his last work? As if the curtain had dropped on him with disaster and defeat? That dreadful scene lasted a few hours. But to the unending eternity, Christ is alive. The stone has been rolled away and he rules and reigns and triumphs." In our Bible study on the Gospel of John, one of the things that keeps cropping up in that Gospel is people taking Jesus literally in the Gospel story, that they totally miss what he's trying to say. And the perfect example is when Nicodemus comes to him in the night. Now, not only was it physically night, maybe, but it was also night in Nicodemus' soul and spirit. He had doubts. He had questions. And they talk. And Jesus talks of being born again. And all Nicodemus can think is, "Am I to re-enter my mother's womb and be born again?" Throughout the Gospels, Jesus constantly tries to get the listeners to go deeper than appearances. That's where they find the streams of living water. That's where they find eternal life. If we keep the Easter proclamation, "He is risen," at the level of appearances, we'll miss the resurrections that happen around us and within us every day. Easter is not just a one-day-a-year celebration. It's something that happens every day for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. It's about the hope and promise of new life. Not just after this life is over, but more so about in and during this life. The Easter proclamation is about a lot more than one man rising from the dead. It's about all of us experiencing new life here and now. It's about all of us sharing our new life when we experience it with others. The church, the world, needs people willing to share their resurrection experiences. That is the witness that is reliable, because you've been there. You've felt it. That's the witness that touches people with hope and courage. Jesus did not tell the disciples to enjoy the good news and go back to their normal everyday lives, but to go on out with the good news and tell others. Later in Luke chapter 24, we hear these words from Jesus after he appeared to them in that room that night where they were staying. He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high," which was the Pentecost event. The world needs to hear of God, of the risen Christ, from more than second-hand witnesses. They need to hear it from first-hand witnesses. That's reliable sharing, reliable witnessing. That's what will create new life. It's not an idle tale. It's not. It is the promise and the work of God, not only in Christ, but in each and every one of us. Christ is risen. Do you believe that? Open the prison doors and shout it out. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.